Hello and welcome to episode 21 of the Lorefield Podcast, the Starfield Lore and News Podcast. In America, the podcast can pop open its first alcoholic beverage. That was sparkling water.
Keep that in.
Yeah, I'm not that cool and it's 5 in the morning. I'm your co-host Mitch alongside our wonderful other co-host Lexi.
Hello.
Red Wolf was unable to join us this time around, but you can expect more of his buttery voice in the future. If you miss him as much as we do, though, you can check out Tales from the Settled Systems Episode 2, following an Aquila City guard on our YouTube channel. He was the voice talent in that, and we've gotten some great feedback since it was uploaded a couple of weeks ago. But I digress. We're back after a little bit of a hiatus while we waited for Bethesda to flinch with a showcase, release date announcement, anything. The wait for that continues, so we put together a fun little episode about a collection of random little things that we find interesting. And a little later we'll go meta and have a conversation about the state of the Starfield community itself and assess sentiment about the game now compared to the past, both good and bad. So, really happy to be back with you all after a little bit of a break. How have you been, Lexi?
I've been good. Addicted to Final Fantasy XIV, but I've been good.
There's something about the MMO genre that when you get sucked in, you get sucked in a lot.
Yeah, especially when there's a lot to do.
Let's describe your character.
A bunny person.
Nice.
I don't know how to describe, it's like a human with bunny ears, and then no ears on where we have ears.
That's actually sick. Actual biological ears, not like a hat.
Yeah, so they got pointy ears on the top of their skull.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hopping around to the Final Fantasy realms.
They don't hop.
Oh.
Although they do have small noses that curve at the end that kind of look bunny-like. So, that's kind of cool with their nose.
That's wacky. I'd love to give that game a try, but it's not on Xbox.
Sadly not. Although that could change in the future. They have talked about an Xbox version.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Yes.
So we have some news. I use the term news very, very loosely. In fact, I even put quotes around it in our document for the show. On Valentine's Day, February 14th, Vault of Daedalus, I think is how you say it, aka Rob from Bethesda UK, friend of the show. Usually joking when I say that, but I'm actually not that time. He messaged the BGS Discord regarding fans getting antsy about the upcoming showcase, and here's what he had to say. Lexi?
We'll have more info to share on the showcase when it's ready to be shared. Still sorting stuff out for it. And then he put a Vasco emote. I know that's not the answer you want, but nothing specific is being withheld. Just the standard corporate speak. For stay calm, you're overreacting.
I have to give props to Rob. This is a pretty brilliantly crafted, say something while also saying nothing at the same time. he did a good job because he can't, drop substantial info. So it's usually Rob over there at Bethesda UK that's the one to just say something to ease people's worries. Starfield is also the second most wishlisted game on Steam right now, behind only Sons of the Forest, which released on February 23rd. So Starfield should be inheriting the top spot for most wishlisted game on Steam, if it hasn't already. So that's kind of exciting.
I just dream about Starfield sometimes. And every other day, I always check the Steam page, hoping that the Order Now button appears, but it never comes.
Never comes. Every day you look. Oh, that's great.
Day 365.
Yeah. Like I said, this episode will just be talking about a few little things that don't really warrant their own episode, but are still worth talking about. So just some cool little things. They should hopefully still generate some interesting discussion. And I'll read a comment on our last episode from Darren Haywood to get things started. Darren, I know, is a regular listener, had some interesting thoughts about the scale of the game, as well as a little note on the fourth city. He says, if you look at Bethesda's past, their trailers only ever show the first few minutes of the game. That whole game reveal last year was nothing but different frames from the first few areas and minutes in the game, which is insane when you think about how big this game is. We haven't seen anything. As for the fourth city, I believe this is a city in space, like a space station. There's concept art that shows this also. Very interesting on the last note. I haven't really seen that anywhere, that the fourth city might be totally in space. Pretty cool. But the main reason I picked that comment was for that first part about how in Bethesda's past, they've only showed areas from the beginning of the game. So I looked back at every single Bethesda trailer because I have too much time on my hands. And Oblivion's trailer shows the Imperial City and Kvatch, which are both early game locations. Fallout 3's trailer starts with the live-action commercial for Vault-Tec, and then it zooms out of the TV into a shot of the wasteland. Do you know approximately where that is? Because I couldn't figure it out.
I've got no clue. I'm sure someone's figured it out. But even in the Fallout 4 trailer, the Soul Survivor's workshop, that's not in the game. Which is the main menu workshop.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not even in the game. And that was in the teaser trailer, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, so it could have changed. It was like a blown up house, I think.
It's somewhere in the game world.
Yeah. I'm guessing it was probably an early game region. The ensuing gameplay montage did show a couple clips of Megaton and some other early game locations. Skyrim's trailer, one of the best video game trailers ever made, in my opinion, showed a montage of clips from all over the province, but the final wide shot showing a huge landscape was, you guessed it, early game content, this little valley containing Riverwood and Bleak Falls Barrow. Fallout 4's trailer showed Sanctuary and the Red Rocket Station, all early game stuff, and Fallout 76's trailer showed the vault and the starting region of the map, early game stuff. So it all checks out. Darren's on to something. We don't know this for sure. I'm curious what you think about it, but I have a feeling that all of the gameplay we've seen, or almost all of it, is from Alpha Centauri.
I think Bethesda has a favorite. I think that's good, though. Just showing off more of one location, because, well, I'll spoil the rest of the cities, right? Just show one, and then you're not going to ruin the other ones. Not that you're going to ruin New Atlantis, but the less you show, the better. And you've got to show a city, so it's got to be one of them. And yeah, we've seen Aquila, but we've had one shot of the exterior and an in-game building. I think that's all we've seen. We also have the concepts, so we kind of know what it looks like, but not in-game. Because in-game and concept is never one-to-one. You can see that in Skyrim's concept. And even Fallout 4's concept. It's never a one-to-one. Because the artist makes the art, and then the modelers make the models. And that's two separate jobs. Plus with concept, it's art, so you can do a lot more than you could ever do with an in-game model. More detail, things the game engine might not be able to handle, like particles coming off something. Or here's an example. If a concept showed a guy walking his dog in the Fallout universe, there is no mechanic like that. Like that, I don't even think that's possible, having a dog on a leash in-game. You could do that in concept, but you might not be able to do that. Unless you were designing something more linear and less open, I'd say. But Bethesda don't do that. That's just concepts to in-game, so. With Aquila City, some things might have changed in the in-game.
Yeah, it really is exciting kind of how much they've kind of limited the scope of what they've shown us. Because there are some concept arts that show wildly different things. Like, there's the giant jungle, which we have seen no gameplay of. There are cave systems, tropical environments. space station interiors. I don't think we've seen like a homey space station interior yet in the gameplay. But we know they're in the game from the concept art. So that's really exciting about what all we're not seeing. There's a lot of it.
It's possible New Atlantis is the jungle planet. Because I think it was the Constellation HQ. In one shot, you can see a spore plant in the window. And that very same spore plant was in the jungle concept.
Okay. Forgive that Yoda noise earlier, by the way.
I think it was the Constellation HQ.
Yeah, I think so. I think it was behind the lady we talked to.
Yeah, it was behind a window.
Mm.
And New Atlantis just looks pretty tropical. Ooh, here's my theory, okay. So we've seen the concept that New Atlantis is kind of built into a mountain, almost. Or at least an elevated area.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've seen both angles of the city from concept. And one actually looks like it's built into a mountain. But my theory is it's built on an elevated point so the jungle doesn't consume it. Because if you don't... I think it was those Aztec or Mayan temples when they were abandoned. The jungle just consumed it. And I think excavators had to spend years removing all that jungle from the area, which is now a tourist attraction. It would be interesting if they built it on a higher point so the jungle didn't get it as much, and then that way they can take plants up to the city from the jungle, you know, for like display. But that way you don't have to build inside the jungle where could be a hostile place to put a settlement.
Funny that your mind went to sort of like modern day Mexico, because mine went not too far away from there in South America. I don't know if you're familiar with Angel Falls.
The name rings a bell.
Okay, if you see a picture, you'd probably recognize it. It's the tallest waterfall in the world, but the cliff it's on looks a lot to me like the ridge or cliff that New Atlantis is on. Just a super tall brown rock with vegetation on either side of it. The environment in New Atlantis, or on Jemison, in that part of Jemison, seems to be sort of Central South American inspired, seeing as we both thought of that region of the world. That's a great point you bring up about those areas where they cleared out the forest and made the ancient cities a tourist attraction. That could be. I have a feeling that's also what happened with Aquila, because in the concept art we saw a tree line, and then in the gameplay there are no trees nearby, and maybe they realized, hold on, tactically speaking, these people would have cleared out the trees around the wall. That's what humans have always done around their forts and stuff.
I was going to bring up something. There was a... You don't have to put this in if I can't remember it, but there was this theory that Aquila City, it's actually an ancient structure that humans just found.
Ooh.
And that would explain the trees and stuff. Compare it to something. Something about someone didn't build something, but then another people inhabited it. I don't know if it was fiction or not. Well, actually, it can bring up a conspiracy theory that the Sphinx wasn't built by the Egyptians, but they actually found a lion sculpture in the desert, and that's where they built their pyramids.
Oh.
And then the face, they chipped off the lion head and carved it into a pharaoh's head and made the Sphinx. which theoretically could work with enough chisel work. You'd be removing 80% of the head, but 20% left. You don't have to put that in. That's just like, it's just a conspiracy. I don't know if it's got any merit to it.
Yeah, I love a good conspiracy. It's so much fun. Oh, yeah. What you brought up about Aquila possibly being an ancient structure that was found, I like that a lot, because although Aquila City is a dirtier city from what we've seen, the buildings do look more worn and run down than those in New Atlantis, even though New Atlantis is 6 years older than Aquila City. How about that? Pretty good recall. But anyway, spent too much time in this universe already.
Too much, but not enough time.
Exactly. Yeah, lending credence to that theory, is kind of strange that the younger city appears much more worn and torn and dirty and less developed. Of course, there could be like political, socioeconomic causes for that. Free Star Collective is a much smaller alliance than the United Colonies. They'll have less resources, etc., etc. It's still worth bringing up in this conversation about Aquila maybe being an ancient alien structure. That is super cool. I haven't heard it.
I don't remember where I heard it. I just heard it somewhere. So whoever made that, shout out to you.
Thanks, Darren, for sending us down that little rabbit hole. And on the topic of Starfield scale, Reddit user u/cowenty, probably butchered the name, pointed out that if a player spends just 1 second on every line of dialogue in the game, it would come out to 70 hours, 15 minutes, and 53 seconds of dialogue. This game is monstrous.
Ooh, 70 hours.
And bear in mind, all the game time you're going to spend not in dialogue, each dialogue line is going to take more than 1 second. Now, the one thing I will say is that I think it's going to be very, very impossible to experience every line of dialogue in one playthrough. In fact, far from it, because of the branching dialogue and stuff and how hard they're going into the choices.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it's going to be wild.
There's going to be lots of lore for us to cover.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of lore, the next little bit of info is lore related and comes courtesy of another Reddit user, u/okpain2022. I hope you're doing all right, who pointed out that Galbank has a very strong presence in the Settled Systems. Of course, Galbank is the organization that loans us money for our house and the starter home trait, but there are also signs that Galbank is in both New Atlantis and Neon. They have signs and possibly buildings. So Galbank will be a tangible organization in the game, not just some faceless entity that you pay money to every week. You'll probably go inside, meet the tellers. Maybe we can rob it. Who knows?
So they're kind of like an international bank that we'd have on Earth. Like intercontinental, I guess, would be the actual term. So they operate in America and, say, the UK or Germany or whatever.
There's an organization on Earth called the World Bank. And I'm looking up what it is because I don't know what it is. It is an international financial institution that provides loans and grants to the governments of low and middle income countries for the purpose of pursuing capital projects. Okay, so that doesn't quite sound like Galbank because Galbank loans to individuals. But, I mean, I guess the question is whether Galbank is a private company like the Xenofresh Corporation that does all the fishing, or kind of like the World Bank, or in the United States we have the Federal Reserve, which is kind of like a bank, but not really, but it's run by the government. It's like a state controlled. So another piece of info, the last one for today, and probably my favorite. This one is about the planets. So in the galaxy map during last year's demo, we saw an info panel that appears when you select a specific planet. And one of the items in this panel is magnetosphere. In the example we saw, it was shown that the planet Gagarin and the moon Chawla both have unknown magnetospheres. A magnetosphere is a magnetic field surrounding the planet, Earth is extremely strong in its magnetosphere, and it is why compasses work. So will navigation be a greater challenge on planets with no magnetosphere? I mean, surely this is included for a reason, the state of a planet's magnetosphere. Do you have any ideas?
Yeah, I'm on the same train of thought with that.
It's pretty exciting because that means there are some planets that when we land on them, we won't know which way is which. Maybe you can't even see nearby locations while you're like boots on the ground walking around on the planet. That is super cool. It's going to be like a hardcore mode on certain planets, if this speculation is right, of course. But yeah, it's really cool just how many angles they're taking with the uniqueness of each planet. We've got different gravity levels, I think different oxygen levels, different minerals you can find, magnetospheres. It's amazing.
Well, actually, that's quite interesting because each planet will have their own magnetic fields. So maybe that factors into it.
It kind of stinks that the only examples we saw both said unknown. But I don't know if it speaks, if the descriptor for each planet in the magnetosphere section is like the strength of it. Like strong, weak, none, that sort of thing. I believe the magnetosphere is one of our greatest protectors from solar radiation. So like, we would all have cancer without the magnetosphere. I don't think there's going to be cancer in Starfield, but I don't know if on a planet with no magnetosphere, you'll have less time to be exposed on the surface or something, much like No Man's Sky's life support system.
I agree.
It's just sort of cool. I realized we hadn't talked about the magnetosphere at all, and it was right there in the menu, so I thought it was worth bringing up. So those were a few little things that we found interesting and worth talking about with the game. That was fun. A lot of those were kind of lore heavy, so that's what this show's all about. We want to close with a conversation about the state of the Starfield community and just kind of where we're at right now. There are concerns that maybe the game has been pushed back again. The Starfield Twitter account has not tweeted at all in 2023. We're a third of the way through Starfield's still official release date and have heard nothing about it. Rumors swirling about Microsoft wanting to push Starfield back. Constellation Questions isn't really here, so there's been a lot of impatience, I would say. Yeah, what are your observations?
I see the community's getting very impatient, which is, you know, understandable because, well, a lot of us have been waiting a very long time, but at the same time, from a developer standpoint, it's very hard to make a game. And people need to learn that if Bethesda don't know, they're not going to give you a date. Or would you rather have a date and they can't make that date? You take your pick, take your poison. And not saying they don't know, or if they do know, we're getting a showcase just for Starfield. That's more than enough for me. When they're ready, they will show it. And hopefully it will be as close to the final version as possible, which is good because it means less content in what they show. And it more represents what you're going to play. I just think people need to find something else to play for a bit. Of course, share your excitement, but when you're saying Bethesda has to reveal something, does, I think you need to take a step back a little bit.
Yeah, well said. It is a tough line to walk between wanting Bethesda to take all the time they need and releasing the game when it's ready, while also speculating about what might be happening to the release date without sounding impatient or entitled or whatever. Things like Constellation Questions, which we have not had an episode of yet this year. I don't think Constellation Questions was planned prior to the delay. I think the game got delayed and they realized, oh wait, we should probably do something else. So they came up with Constellation Questions. My personal theory is that they were doing Constellation Questions, did two episodes of it, and then another showcase was planned. so Constellation Questions has been put on hold while they work on the showcase. So it's just sort of a one thing kind of supersedes another sort of deal, is my personal belief. But what that means is that in the interim between the last Constellation Question and the showcase that we're getting in the future, there's like a lot of silence. And that's just something we got to deal with. So, yeah. It has been a rough start to the year for the Starfield community between like the silence and the BGS and rumors of another delay. We've done this a couple times throughout the show's history, and you alluded to it, Lexi. It's just good to send the warmest and friendliest of reminders to make sure you're keeping your life healthy and well-rounded while we wait for Starfield, by placing value in other things in addition to Starfield. You know, Lexi, you've been playing the heck out of Final Fantasy XIV. That's great. Amazing. I've gotten into Age of Empires 2. It's not healthy to put all the energy we have into something like Starfield, especially when like nothing's happening on that front at the moment. So to quote Mr. Matty Play, stay active and engaged with the hobbies and people around you. Starfield will be here before you know it. So, yeah, just take care of yourselves.
Absolutely. Well said.
Any other closing thoughts before we close out episode 21?
Stay hydrated. Always remember, don't focus on one game only. Have two games to juggle, or three. Because then you're less likely to burn out. And even developers burn out. Look at Bethesda Game Studios themselves. They got Fallout, so they didn't have to do Elder Scrolls every time. But then they wanted to do Starfield, so now they've got three things to juggle. There's no way the development team's going to get burnt out from that. Because they're doing something different. Different universes. So breaks are good. And even with Starfield, I'm still going to be playing Final Fantasy XIV. Find something else to keep you engaged and... Yeah, Starfield can be your primary game when it's out. But always have something else. Because then you're less likely to burn out. And burnout is the most horrible thing you can experience when playing games. The Elder Scrolls Online burnt me out. Amazing game. But I got burnt out from playing too much of it. Because it was all I played. And I even did it with Fallout 4. It's about balance and having other things to do. Especially if you're set on Starfield. If you're set on Starfield, if you juggle another game in there on the side, that's better than burning out on this game you've been waiting for so long after 150 to 300 hours. I hope that made sense.
I echo that completely. You don't want to burn yourself out of Starfield before it even comes out.
Yeah, and it's even true when it's out, as I was saying. You want to have something on the side or two things on the side, because you could end up like me. You get 500 to 800 hours in and you just don't want to play it anymore because it was all you were playing. I want to play Starfield as much as everyone else. But I will really want to be careful with Starfield so I never burn out from it.
I do think we can give a pass for the first, like, weekend, maybe the first week, go absolutely ham.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. First weekend to week, blast out. But remember, other games exist and they're going to prevent you from losing that passion. And yeah, also... stay hydrated, get out of your chair every hour or 20 minutes, have a stretch, walk around, get a drink, and then go back to your gaming. That doesn't take longer than 10 minutes.
Cool, I love it. Healthy lifestyle recommendations on the Warfield podcast. Who'd have thunk it?
Exactly. Yeah.
That's a great conversation to transition into our last segment of the show, which is the recommendations. Since it's so good to make sure you're, you know, not putting all your energy into one thing, got some suggestions for you if you're looking for something new to try. Lexi, why don't you go first?
I'm going to recommend Final Fantasy XIV. Amazing game. It's subscription based, but subscription based MMOs I think are better. Like with ESO, you've got the crown crates, which is like loot boxes. It's all cosmetic stuff, of course, but it's still random numbers and percentages. So it is gambling. And when you when your MMO doesn't have a subscription, you do tend to get stuff like that. Not in every MMO, but in some of them you could, because it's a way to monetize. And you with the lesson laws on loot boxes. Well, lesson laws, there's not really any laws for them in every country. And this is not a dig at the developers, it's a way to make money, and it's an 18 plus rated game, so, you know. Yeah, but like with subscription based, that's maintaining the game. When you've got millions of players, that's tens of millions of, you know, revenue. And then that prevents some mechanics, like in the... I can only use ESO as an example, like the Crown Store. You can buy stuff like Mount Speed. And you can buy all this stuff that you could earn in-game, I guess. But in Final Fantasy, it's just cosmetic stuff. And you can... Sure, you can pay to skip an entire storyline and get to level 80. But you also lose lore from that. And you know me, I love lore. And that's mainly for a second character. When you've already done all that from your main, and you know, you don't want to have to grind for it. And you can do that with story as well. Just get all the story wrapped up on the store. But there's also, it's just cosmetic stuff and cool, like, glamour stuff. It's not, there's not a lot really that you need to buy on the store. But that's even, I don't know where I'm going with this. In short, I think the subscription model is better than the buy-to-play model. Because I think it's less, they don't have to monetize it as much. And Final Fantasy has, their expansions are massive. Like, they put, from what I've seen, their expansions put, like, games like ESO's expansions to shame. Because you have the expansion, and then over the next year or two, you get an epilogue to the chapter. And those are like DLC sizes in their own right, every few months. And that's like the conclusion of that arc. It's amazing. Like, there's great customization. It's kind of limited, but it's also not. And the glamour system is just amazing. It needs to rework with certain things, but generally, solid experience. Yeah, Final Fantasy 14, great story, great MMO.
Nice. I'm kind of curious, how big is the world?
A lot of it's divided, but the world is big. So some regions are bigger than others, and there's going to be a lot of exploring. Diverse regions too.
Nice pick. Like I said earlier, I'd love to play that eventually, but I don't have a gaming PC, and it's not on console, unfortunately. But hopefully that changes.
It's on PS4 and 5.
Really? Oh.
Mm.
Those lucky ducks. They don't get Starfield though. It's okay. So, like you, I alluded to my pick a little earlier, but I'm going to pick Age of Empires 2. The Definitive Edition recently came out on Game Pass, so I've gotten into it. It was my first time playing it, even though the game is older than I am. I think it came out in 96 or 98, but it has really sucked me in. It is a strategy game, a little bit like Clash of Clans. You can tell Clash of Clans was heavily inspired by it. You basically manage a civilization, and you can pick what civilization you choose, and they all come with their own perks and buffs. And basically, you can manage your economy to make more villagers, which get you more resources, and then you can build up your military. And it's a multiplayer strategy game, so you want to build up your military and conquer the other players in the game. Each round can last anywhere from like 45 minutes to 3 hours. It's just super fun. It's kind of like tedious, but it's also like there are parts of it that are fast-paced and very heavy on strategy. Obviously, it's a strategy game. But I'm still new to it, so I'm sure there are people listening who are like way more knowledgeable on the strats and stuff than I am. But it is a really fun game. Age of Empires 2.
Very good pick. I've heard very great things.
Yeah, it has been fun to like learn the ropes of. Did you hear that?
Yes.
I think that was the wind, I hope.
There's a ghost.
Yeah, I might leave that in. That was weird. So yeah, now we've reached the end of episode 21 of the Lorefield Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at LorefieldNet, where we share news, analysis, and finds about the game. You can also join us at the lore subreddit, r/lorefield. We're always looking for new members over there, and that should be a great place to discuss lore as we get closer to release. We're on YouTube as Lorefield. You can subscribe for all of our podcasts and some video content like Tales from the Settled System, which has been live for a couple of weeks. We have a Discord. Join us and some wonderful members of the Starfield community for lore discussion and more. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time, episode 22.
Bye, all. I don't remember that. I forget what I ate last week, so. I can. 2 days ago, I don't remember what I ate. I think I ate stew. A nice beef stew.
Hmm. Do you know the like, Urban Dictionary term for what a beef stew is?
No.
Oh, God. I'll cut this out. It's,
It's not the Oxford Dictionary for a beef stew.
No, no.
Oh, okay.
It's when you like basically like pin someone down and pass gas right in their face. That's a beef stew.
What the f- I think it was chicken actually.
Oh, changing your story.